Welcome to Lessons in Leadership. This is by far the best, most impactful leadership program anywhere on any platform, streaming, podcast, broadcast, digital, doesn't matter. I'm here with my colleague, Mary Gamba, and we are kicking off the program with our longtime friend, Kate Gibbs, who's deputy director of ELEC A25. She'll tell us what that is in a moment. And also the executive director of the New Jersey GOP. That would be the Republican Party. Kate, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm busy and working hard. The election is just, you know, a little bit more than 30 days away. So doing well, but definitely busy.
Now, we're taping this right literally on the last day of September. The election that Kate refers to as the gubernatorial, we don't even know who's going to win. This is going to be seen after as well. But I'm going to ask you this, Kate, and tell everyone what ELEC is.
So ELEC A25 is the Labor Management Fund representing the Operating Engineers Local 825, as well as their signatory contractors who employ our members. So it's an economic development organization mostly that promotes advocacy in investments in infrastructure, responsible economic development. And of course, the goal is to create opportunities for our contractors and members.
And to make it clear, we've had a longstanding relationship with Greg Lalavie, who leads the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 825. We've done a leadership academy there that Kate was in a few years ago, and we're very much connected to their work now. And they're also a sponsor of our programming. Kate, let me try this. How the heck, because you took on the GOP role as executive director in July of 2025, right?
Correct.
While this is a program about leadership, it's also a program about life. How the heck are you balancing the dual roles, and how is it impacting your life?
Well, right now, fortunately, I don't have to do too much balancing because I'm on a leave of absence temporarily from Local 825 Labor Management Fund in order to do this job full time. But I'm no stranger, as you know, to wearing multiple hats, all in leadership. And I'm just very fortunate to work for somebody like Greg Lalavie and like Mark Longo, who heads our Labor Management Fund. And they really have given me so much support in pursuing all of these different pursuits, mostly in the political governmental space.
Well said, but I also want to push back on something. When we worked together and I was doing leadership coaching with you, one of the things I remember about you, this is supposed to be confidential, but I'll share it anyway, because you're not alone. Kate is a super doer. She gets stuff done. Mary Gamba, you relating so far?
I am so relating, and we share a brain because I was going to go into the super doer, multitasking and delegating, but you go ahead.
No, Mary's got it. Mary, what am I going to ask Kate?
Insane. Kate and I definitely are kindred souls when it comes to that. Super doer, I used to be in the mindset, if you want something right, you have to do it yourself. Now I've definitely evolved as a leader. Talk a little bit about the importance of surrounding yourself with very strong people who you can delegate to and how that makes a difference as a leader to be able to do that, because so many of us, myself included, have a hard time letting go. How do you get those people around you so you do have the ability to delegate tasks that other people can help you out with?
Yeah, I've been so fortunate, always having a really great team around me, colleagues, leadership. And so when you have people that you can trust, it makes it easier to delegate. And that's hard for people like us, Mary. But when you take on as many roles as people like us do, you have to delegate. It's something that I've really worked on over the past few years in letting go and not having to touch every single element and piece to make sure that it's done. But that's where those hub and spokes that Steve talks about can be really, really useful, and creating kind of a systematic system of, you know, these are the people that I'm going to talk to on a daily basis. These are the people that I'm going to check in with weekly, monthly, quarterly, and making that kind of a formalized system so that you're not going, oh, shoot, I really need to circle back with this one. And did that one get their assignment done? The other thing that's really just has always been my secret sauce since the middle school has been list making. I am a huge list maker. And I think that if you don't have a list of things that you're not only things that you need to accomplish, but things that you have delegated and that you need to check back on, I just think that there's no way to, you know, juggle a lot of different roles without having those lists.
So there are two things. Kate triggered a couple. Number one, when she refers to hub and spokes, our graphic will come up with our website, stand-deliver.com. Hub and spokes is simply, and there's a whole seminar we did on, it's really about strategic relationship building. It's a formalized, organized way of saying, look, if Kate Gibbs is the hub of a bicycle wheel, she's the hub. The spokes are, Kate, all the stakeholders and people in your life who you have relationships with. Not everyone, but internally, externally. And you can't list all of them, but you list a lot of them, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You look at it every day. It changes every day. Some people go away. Some people have to be added. You have to constantly invest in those relationships. The other thing, and Mary mentioned about letting go. Mary, I will remind myself to stay off my soapbox. Mary said letting go and delegation. I'm going to tweak it. There's a chapter that I wrote in Lessons in Leadership 2.0, the tough stuff, called strategic micromanagement, meaning you don't actually let go. You don't go, Mary, it's yours, and tell me if it gets done. It's, Mary, this is what needs to be done. Okay, Mary, tell me when you're going to report back to me. Let's put an email trail with deadlines and deliverables so I don't get shocked the day before, oh, nothing got done. And it's not about Mary. It's about strategic micromanagement as opposed to obsessive, crazy micromanagement, which drives you and everyone else crazy. Kate, making any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And my management style has always been to provide the team that I'm working with a lot of autonomy and flexibility. If I give an assignment, I'm not going to tell you exactly how it has to be accomplished. If you have a system that works for you and you can get that assignment done in the time, you know, that was prescribed.
But you agree on when, Kate, I'm sorry for interrupting. They don't have autonomy on when they can do it.
No. So it's about making sure, like I said, that the task assigned is completed in the time prescribed, but I'm pretty flexible on how it gets done. And I really do try to give that kind of autonomy and flexibility to my team because there are things that that people know how to approach their area of expertise, maybe in a better way even than I would do it. So I really do try to provide that kind of flexibility. But again, in order to let go and to have that trust, you have to make sure that you're providing clear direction and really clear deadlines so that you're not in that crunch of, oh my goodness, this is due today. Where is it?
By the way, Mary, let's make sure we use this video, this interview with Kate in the 825 Leadership Academy. Mary, jump back in.
Huge pivot here, but not so much. You know where I'm going when it comes to all of these plates that you're juggling in the air. Where does wellness come in and what advice do you have? And I particularly for women who are also juggling a lot of other roles or families and just life overall, talk a little bit just about wellness and what you do for your own wellness and what advice you have for others to make sure that they prioritize wellness in their day.
Yeah, so I think that women are superheroes. I look at a lot of my friends and colleagues who are moms while, you know, pursuing very, very, you know, demanding careers. And I don't know how they do it because they really are CEOs of their households and of, you know, running their children. So I can't even imagine. But there are different challenges as a single woman that I have in that I always say, you know, it would be really great to have a wife here taking care of me and making sure that I am taking my dry cleaning, you know, making sure there's food in the fridge and that somebody takes the dog out. Because as a single woman, every single thing that needs to be done around the house, I'm the one who has to do it. And when you're
Hold on, Kate, are you saying I would be totally lost if my wife, Jennifer, were not the CEO of this house, which she is?
I think your dogs might die because you would forget to feed them. So okay. That would be bad.
Yeah. Totally lost. Pick up your point, Kate.
So you would like
to have someone there helping you do stuff.
It would be great to just the regular routine, you know, taking the garbage out, just running a household. But something that I focused on, I know that we talked a lot about it when I was going through the Leadership Academy. I was really one of those people that was not good at creating a work-life balance. I had work and that was pretty much the extent of the balance. And so during the pandemic and after, I really focused on taking care of Kate and making sure that I can be the best version of myself so that I can execute better on all the things that I try to accomplish.
How, Kate?
By prioritizing myself and making sure that I'm putting, you know, filling up my cup, so to speak, before all of the other, there's always going to be your to-do list. As I said, I'm a list maker. I always have a to-do list. And while I try very hard to go to bed without that to-do list having items remaining, some days it's impossible. And so, but if you don't put yourself first, nobody else will. And so that was something that I really did work on over the last few years, making sure that I took time to go to, you know, exercise classes, making sure I took time to do things I enjoy, like reading, like golfing. And by putting those things first, scheduling time for myself and making myself a priority, it did make me better at all of the crazy things I try to take on.
But it takes intentionality.
Yes.
It takes consistency. And if it's not a priority and we think it'll happen organically, it won't. And then we're feeling crappy.
Yes.
It impacts our energy. Listen, Mary and I talk about this constantly. And by the way, we want to be clear. When Mary and I talk about well-being, wellness and leadership, we don't simply mean going to the gym, working out. Okay, if you do that, that's fine. Yoga, that's fine.
Breathing, taking 5 minutes. Before the taping today, I literally stood in, we have a window air conditioning unit. I turned on the window air conditioning unit because I was just feeling, you know, the start of the day.
Clammy.
But you felt a little clammy. Put on my favorite song.
I came into the gym. I never even took time to calm down. I just stood there for three minutes.
I played my favorite Zach Bryan song, and literally it's about it being a beautiful day. And I just stood there for 3 minutes, and everybody has 3 minutes, or take a quiet walk and just meditate, sit outside and look and watch and see the leaves blowing, just taking something.
That?
I did. Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
But Mary, you brought up such a great point, which is I used to say, well, if I can't, it was about perfection, right? Well, if I can't do the hour long yoga class, then I can't take care of myself. So I might as well not
Moments.
Do anything. When you can take 5 minutes or 1 minute or 3 minutes, like you said.
3 minutes was all it took, and it put me in the right headspace.
Hey, you know the song I like, Alvin, I see in the chat, we're 12 minutes in, I get it. But Kate's really interesting. I'm going to get out after this. How about this? How about this song for your well-being? The Bruno Mars Lazy Song.
You know the song? Yeah, I do.
Today
I don't want to do anything. I just want to lay here in bed. I'm sorry.
Come on, Steve, sing.
No, but I don't have that option. Nobody does. To Kate, thank you. Kate, you're a great leader, great partner. To you and Greg Lalavy and the great team there. We cannot wish you all the success in the world as the head of the GOP because we are nonpartisan.
Well, I appreciate that, but thank you.
It was half a joke, Kate, but okay.
Thank you so much for all the support that you provide to 825. And, you know, Lessons in Leadership has been a really integral part of our organization's growth and success. So thank you. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk today.
That's what partnership's about. Mary and I, we're great partners. 25. We're having our, is it a golden? I don't even know what anniversary
it is.
Well,
we're in our whatever the 25th year is. So yeah, June 19th, we celebrated 25 years. Yeah. And the only reason why I know Kate, I actually started working for Steve on my 1 year wedding anniversary. So literally people are like, how do you know exactly the day? It also happened to be the day I got married just a year later.
Yeah. Mary did not get me a gift for our anniversary. And I gave her a bonus. No, I'm joking. We're right back in. That made no sense. I realize that. We'll be back after this. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Vecino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Delta Dental of New Jersey, the Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, showing the world what great minds can do since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
We're now joined by Regina Agias. She's been on with us before. There's an important message today. She's founder and chair of Garden State Initiative. Good to see you, Regina.
Nice to see you too, Steve.
Tell everyone as we put up the website what Garden State Initiative is.
It's a public policy organization that focuses on broad economic matters of the state, including energy, transportation, our performance on unemployment, et cetera. So we try to really give a good temperature check on how the state is doing economically.
You know, we're going to put up the website for njbudget.com, which is all about budget transparency in state finances. But do this for us. Since we're also using this Lessons in Leadership and also on our one-on-one program as well. Tell folks very quickly about your leadership journey. You've had some key leadership positions in a variety of sectors. Talk about that.
Well, I began in the private sector at AT&T, and I was very fortunate. I was in AT&T in the period when I was very much focused on leadership development. And we were put through many, many both academic as well as career enhancing experiences. And it really put me in situations that you really learn to understand yourself and how you behave when you are put under stress, when you are put in, you know, a spotlight, et cetera. So I was very fortunate, and it was in across the organization in both sales leadership, network operations, as well as product management and financial leadership. So it was an interesting preparation for going into government. After a career at AT&T, I joined the Christie administration as the chief of staff to the treasurer.
And that's right.
Yeah,
that, and then another key role, please.
Yes, the treasurer's chief of staff in the beginning of the Christie administration, and then on into the governor's office, overseeing the authorities unit, which includes a wide range of government functions, and then ultimately the chief of staff for Governor Christie.
Well, you know, since it's interesting, you work with Governor Christie, and Chris, Governor Christie and I have talked about different leaders who he's had working on his team, and the governor and I have had many discussions and sometimes debates about leadership style, because there's no one way to get things done, but he clearly got things done. But the other governor who got a lot of things done in a time when I, as a very, very young man serving in the state legislature for a very, very short time, was Tom Kaine. Governor Kaine was an extraordinary leader, is an extraordinary leader. The Governor Thomas H. Kaine Leadership Award, there was an event recently, September 18th, an inaugural event. What was it? Why do we have to honor and recognize the great leadership of Governor Kaine? Regina.
Well, you know, what we are coming to observe about our current environment of polarization and, frankly, lack of productivity of our government and delivering on what really citizens need, what we are learning to appreciate and, as you say, honor about Governor Kaine's leadership and others, frankly, also in that era, understood that you have to begin with listening and understanding how people come at problems and agree that you want to solve problems in a way that accommodates as many points of view as we possibly can. And at the event you're referencing, Steve, again and again, individuals spoke to the notion that Governor Kaine listened, absorbed, and frankly, when he spoke, he had a very purposeful goal in mind and delivered on what he understood needed to get delivered. And the other observation, because you contrasted Governor Kaine and Governor Christie, is, you know, Governor Kaine, while he's extremely poised, and you never see him lose his temper in public, he was a very schooled politician, and he understood how to work the government as well as the private sector to get stuff done. So different styles, but understanding, you know, how the system works and what needs to be accomplished was the hallmark of Governor Kaine.
And no one way to get things done and to be a great leader, but just by way of background, you should Google Governor Kaine, and we're going to also have Governor Kaine on to talk more about his leadership journey, his life in government. But I'm going to say this. Also, he was a university president as well as at Drew. But I want to say this. It's very interesting. Governor Kaine, while in the state legislature as a Republican, when the Republicans were in the minority, which means they did not have the majority of votes, he became the Speaker of the House, the Speaker of the Assembly in the minority party, which means he had to not just get Republicans, but Democrats to vote for him to be the leader of the House. Just imagine that happening today. That's not commentary. It's just a question. Hey, Regina, do this for us. We're putting up the website, njbudget.com. What is it? Why is it so incredibly important for people who want to understand what the heck's going on with our money in the state?
Well, you know, the New Jersey state budget, all most people hear is how big it is, right? $58 billion or whatever the, you know, current number is. And it's very difficult for anyone in the public, and frankly, some legislators, honestly, to really start to try to understand what are the elements that matter that we understand about how that money gets spent. And so what this is, njbudget.com, which Steve, you've heard me say this before, I find it completely ironic that in 2025, the URL njbudget.com wasn't taken. And so when we launched this product, it was really to help people understand the New Jersey budget. And we began with what gets a lot of the press at the end of the budget cycle, is those elements that get added in at the last minute. And they are important because they are part of the negotiation process, not just the spending plan. So our goal is to keep building on this product that shows in a very user-friendly way some of these elements in the budget, how the spending was last year, how it was this year, and what's in the, when the governor's budget gets presented in the following year, what is being proposed. And as I say, it's user-friendly interface, and it breaks it down by municipality,
yep,
by legislative district, and by entity. So a user can go in and really look and understand. And I hope that it helps to translate what's government, you know, speak into normal speak, and people can ask questions about how the money's getting spent.
And we will continue to promote that site for people to find out more. Regina, thank you. We'll continue the conversation, and I look forward to sitting down with Governor Kane. Thank you, Regina.
Thanks, Steve.
You got it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Vecino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, PragerMedis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Delta Dental of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, showing the world what great minds can do since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Welcome back to Lessons in Leadership. We have a few minutes left for leadership pearls of wisdom. First, Mary, I want to say this. We were joking before, earlier when we had Kate on, and we're talking about our 25th anniversary, and I said that you hadn't got me a gift and I got you a bonus. I want to clarify. A,
that I didn't get a bonus? No, I'm kidding.
Hold on. We're actually, Mary, you know what it is?
That
Mary,
was just funny. I'm just being funny. I'm just joking.
Now, hold on. You know what's so interesting about this? This sounds like a ridiculous transition, but there's something to it. I didn't get my bonus this year because our board of trustees were like, hey, things are tight. Hold back. And they were right. Mary picked up the cues, and we talked about her bonus, which she deserves twice over, and I have no problem saying that, meaning twice as much. She was like, let's hold off for a little bit on this. And it's so interesting because she didn't have to do it. She's doing it because we're trying to be as fiscally prudent as possible. But she also trusts, am I wrong on this, Mary? You trust and you know that bonus will come well-deserved at the right time. Fair? Or is that off?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I also think you and I are very competitive people. So I think it pushes each of us to work harder, be more, how do I say it nicely? Just be a lot tighter with what we're doing in terms of our spending and be more intentional.
And the bringing in of sponsors and money.
And the bringing in, identifying new sponsors, underwriters. And I have to say, we have some really fun underwriters that have come on, newer underwriters on our public television side, the New Jersey Manufacturing Extension Program. It's like, what is that?
And South we spoke Jersey Industries.
Exactly. And a lot of really fun Lincoln Tech. I mean,
Lincoln,
you know,
Tech? Who would have thought
that?
You
can, I know. And literally, I've had so much fun with these newer. I mean, I love, trust me, I love our longstanding underwriters.
You better say that.
I will. But it pushes you out of your comfort zone a little bit. It says, wait a second, you know, just because we may not have an in, if you will, or a connection to some of these, there's really great organizations, nonprofits that are doing really interesting things that are looking to get their message and branding out there. So it really opened our eyes to that opportunity as well.
And to that point, sorry for interrupting, and not only do we run a tight budget, which is part of leadership, and bring in new funders, keep the ones we have as best we can, but Mary trusts and knows, we trust each other that we're going to do the right thing. And by the way, if there's a reason why we can't, we said this before, Mary, I will talk to Mary and say, here's the situation. That doesn't mean she's going to love it. And doesn't mean I love what she says to me, but there's trust. Hey, listen, can we get Elvin on?
Yeah.
Not that he's getting a bonus today, but I just want to be clear.
I was going to ask, are we getting bonuses? What are you talking about? Did the board not vote on my bonus? What's going on?
Hey, real quick.
I love us. I don't think there's anyone better than us. I have to say that right now.
I agree. This is an awesome team. Also to everyone else. Hey, Elvin, real quick. I'm not going to turn this into a mini seminar, but I've noticed that when I'm multitasking and doing a bunch of different things, which I'm convinced I can do 10 different things with my phone, and sometimes we're not as present as we need to be. You're running literally mini NASA over there, okay? How challenging is it for you to be present, do what you need to do, but still?
It's very challenging. It's very challenging because I'll be honest with you, Steve. Half the time I'm not listening to the conversation. I'm just trying to make sure I'm following along, and I pick up on keywords. So sometimes I can be a little distracted and I give you the wrong time cue because I'm trying to give you time, keep track of what's going on with the conversation, and make sure we still have a good program. So I do get overwhelmed sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes.
Well, no question, no kidding, not all the time, or you wouldn't be the great director you are. But here's the funny thing. And again, Mary, you know this because we've led seminars together. I'll often tell the people I coach in leadership development in our leadership academies, I understand multitasking. I understand why we do it. We're so busy. We have so many things going on. But here's my message. Don't kid yourself. Every time you multitask, you lose potentially just a little bit of where you need to be in terms of being present, the nuance of what was said or how it was said or who said it, and you pick up a word, as Elvin said, and I get it because I'm guilty, but I just want to be clear. It's not benign, meaning stuff happens, and that's why it happens. We have to work to be more present. Mary, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and Elvin, I get it. And the multitasking, especially when you're juggling a lot of things, is very challenging. And I agree with Steve completely. I've done it. Steve and I are in seminars. I'm taking notes. I'm saying Steve said
that
we're
texting me during seminars.
Texting during seminars. You know, we only have, as Elvin just did right now, we have 30 seconds to go. So, Elvin, I'll give you the last word. How do you manage everything over there just with having so many things going on at once?
I'm very organized and I have a routine. Mm-hmm. So I do things in a certain order. And as we were saying before we came on air, if you break that order, I forget things. So I got to make sure I do everything in the same order every time, or all the balls will fall down as the timer runs out. And that means the show is over.
I appreciate that. But I have a very high tech way of keeping track of things. Yellow stickies. We'll see you next time on Lessons in Leadership.
This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Bucino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Delta Dental of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, showing the world what great minds can do since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA, and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ, and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
At Delta Dental, we do more to make benefits easy to implement, use, and understand. It's why businesses large and small trust us to keep their employees smiling. Year after year, we make our clients and members happy with unmatched expertise and great dental benefits. We apply our decades of experience to give you more guidance, providing plan design options and cost-saving measures. With reliable support for you and your employees, we make administration effortless and free up your time so you can focus on other business needs. We even do more for vision care with Delta Vision. Choose Delta Dental and discover what the power of more can do for your business and your employees.